You know, there's a subject that can be such a downer for all of us, but it's something we all have to face. And sometimes there's, you know, it seems like there's tough decisions to be made. So a couple of things recently, one person who's still holding on and another who recently left. So I just want to mention our friend, my wife's friend and a friend of mine. Her name is Lori and her mom, Carol. You know, her health was going downhill and she passed away recently. So, you know, Carol, maybe towards the end or even a good part of her life, you know, I always think we aren't what we really are. And this is not a knock on anybody, but we're so much more than what we even think we are. We are so much more. I'm convinced of it after what I've witnessed. Doesn't, you know, there's room to be wrong on some of that. Maybe I'm not right, but I think we are so much more than what our personalities show us to be. And so Carol had her health issues in the last year or two, and at times probably wasn't very pleasant to be around. And Lori was always there for her. And it was tough for her to let go of her mother. But I believe in the end, you know, what choice do you have? I do find it interesting that Lori said right after that happened, whether or not it's a sign from her mother, this squirrel was following her around the yard. And it's either her mom or animals can sense things with this. And I think what they do is that they will come to us. And then she said the neighbors further down the road, she was went for a walk like she usually does. And the neighbor's dog sometimes has helped, but it doesn't really, you know, do anything. This dog followed her all the way back to her house and stood in her yard and wouldn't leave. You know, and this is not the first time I've heard when you lose somebody and you're feeling sad, animals can sense that. And they just bring love to you. Isn't that amazing? And it's been a time after time I've heard this. Now, the squirrel being a wild animal, maybe that was her mom saying, hey, hello, here I am. Wouldn't it be nice to think that, right? And I want to back that story up to, well, it's probably close to 20, almost 2 years ago. It would have been in March of 2022. We went to visit Keith and Lori when they were down in Arizona. And they had rented a house and we stayed there in southern Arizona. And what was remarkable is that my wife Sandy and Lori were outside on the picnic table behind the house. And they were talking. And they said, TJ, come out here. You missed it. This giant condor. They claim it was a, they described the bird to me. I'm pretty sure it was a condor, which are rare. There's not that many of them. They're in Arizona. They're in California. And they said, this is the biggest bird I've ever seen. And it flew right down. It flew. We saw it flying in. It came out of nowhere. And it flew down through the yard. And I thought, holy bananas. That's pretty rare, right? And then Sandy and I went back in the house, and Lori saw it a second time. And I ran out there and, of course, missed it both times, which I love seeing animals and seeing things. But, you know, at the time, I knew the condor. I mean, it could have many different meanings, but it is kind of a forewarning of, you know, whether you believe this or not, a forewarning of people, loved ones that could be moving on. And it's not, I never see these things as an ominous warning. It's just saying, you know, if things keep going the way they are, this is what's going to happen. Just to let you know, just warning you. Just so you can be braced for it. So shortly after that, within a year, she had an uncle that passed away, and then Sandy's father, we knew he was not doing well, And he passed away, and I kind of figured that's what that was. And then I figured her mom, too, but her mom hung on, actually, till just recently. So a lot longer. So was the condor connected to that? I think it was. So when you see these kind of things, are they... I just kept my mouth shut about it. I tried to look at the positive attributes of the condor and see what that would mean for the two of them that saw that. And I felt there was some things about it. Not that this is anything negative, because I don't think any animal ever is when we see it. But they certainly can, I believe, that they can kind of forewarn us. If you even want to call it that, maybe they're just making us aware, you know. Nature doesn't look at things in a good and bad aspect or with an emotional attachment. I mean, I guess animals do. If they lose a young one for a little while, they can have, certain animals can have an attachment. But they're a lot different than us in most ways. They're built to, it seems like, let go of things. Although I have witnessed, you know, now that I think about it, even birds. Years ago, I don't know how many, 10 maybe, I was outside working in the yard a little bit, doing some things, and I heard this little quack quacks, and these ducks, little baby ducks, come walking right by me. Now, there's no water around there, but apparently ducks can be out in the woods, I guess. And this one duck is leading like 6 or 7 or 8 of them, and they're all following behind him. Like, he seems like he knows where he's going. I'm thinking, where's your mother? And they marched right across my lawn, and they came from the western side, and they went all the way across, and then they crossed the road going east into a thicker group of pine trees. And I thought, I wonder if your mom, you know, is around, and should I try to steer you guys back? But how am I going to do that? So I had to go to town. I came back, and I get back, and I hear this noise in my backyard, again, on the western backside of my property, which is, you know, about 1 acre away. And I see this duck flopping around, and it's a mother duck, and it's going bananas, like it's making all kinds of noise. And I think, oh, mama's looking for her babies. And she was pretty upset. Now, is that an emotion? Do animals feel emotions? I think they could. So it just showed me that she was really worked up about it. I don't know if she ever found him. And again, it's not something I thought about going to help. You know, sometimes we have to just leave things be. And sometimes when you assist an animal and maybe you help it, maybe that's destined to be, you know. But where do you draw the line? It's like my friend John told me years ago when he saw a turtle, and it was walking in this remote area, but it was crossing this road. And he thought, well, I'm going to help this guy. I'll bring him back to where the water is. And then later he saw that turtle go in the same direction. The turtle was destined to go there. So there's a certain plan that they each have, driven by divine consciousness, probably more than anything. And then, you know, there are times in my life where, when especially when I was a kid, we helped animals if they were injured. And sometimes they survived and sometimes they didn't. And then you have to look at the bigger picture and you wonder if they just showed up in your life to teach you that, you know. You think, oh, well, this animal is wounded or whatever, and it's not by coincidence. A few years ago, I believe it was, there was a robin that I found in my yard. And I had read that, you know, I've heard for years that you're not supposed to touch them. And now recently I've read you can. I wish I would have, but I don't know if he would have been saved. It's a little baby robin, and I knew we were going out of town that weekend. We're going to be gone for a few days, and I almost hit him with the mower when I was doing the riding mower, and fortunately, I saw him, and then I kind of just used a stick to move him, but he could barely move. He could barely walk. He was just so young. And then I watched in the yard as this other robin with some food started coming over to this bird, this little baby robin. And I don't know if it was the mother. I can only guess. The mother came, made all this noise and came over and was, went after this other robin and chased it out of there. And apparently didn't want the help because I don't think this other robin was going to hurt it. And we thought it was protecting its own. The thing is, this robin, this little baby, is on the ground. And maybe no predators will come through that night. And maybe it'll be okay. But how are you going to feed it? And I so wanted to take this old bird bath and put some sticks in it and stuff and make it away so that this bird couldn't climb out and put it in there and hope that the mother would find it. You know, you wonder what you should do because obviously it fell out of a nest. And so I left without doing anything. And then when I got back, I looked around to see if it was still there, if it had died, and I didn't see it. I thought, good, well, maybe he survived. And then I walked around a little further and I saw the bones already. There wasn't much left already. And we're decomposing. This is after just a short period of time. So I realized he didn't make it. I was a little saddened, but I also realized this is part of what nature is. And sometimes we can step in. In this case, I didn't. Do I wish I would have? Yeah, maybe, but tried something. But then I could have put him in this perch, and the mother wouldn't have known he was there, and he would have starved to death. So at least the mother knew where he was. So really, you know, even with animals and humans, we have to learn to let go. And how much do we do? So the second part of this conversation that I'm having with myself, and there's a man who's been on my show before. His name is Mike, and his health has been going down. And a mutual friend of ours got a hold of me and was saying he doesn't want to live anymore. He's in a nursing home. He's wearing an adult diaper. He's lost a bit of his hearing. I don't know if he can hear anymore at all or even see. And he had some of those issues before. And so, you know, she was asking me what to do. And I said, well, you know, I witnessed that ceremony for Jay back in 2007 that we did at with the Native people, with Dwayne and that crew. And, you know, and you throw tobacco in the fire and you say the person's name. And it's not meant to, you know, I don't think any prayer, and again, you may think differently and don't believe what I believe, but what I witnessed, I guess, is that I just don't believe you pray to God and God's going to grant you a wish sometimes, and other times God's not going to give you the wish. And especially when it comes to somebody else, I'm going to pray to God for you. And so God's going to hear all those prayers and go, you know what, you know, I was thinking about getting rid of you, but nah, I'm going to keep you. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. So instead, the Native explained to me that when we throw tobacco in the fire, it connects us to their DNA. And then also, when you say their name and then everybody repeats it, they said their prayer is different because it's not going to ask for anything. All it's doing with all those energies around connected is helping the person to hear that in a conscious level, subconscious, subconscious level, and decide. So when I did that back in 2007 for Jay, and then everybody repeated his name, I was told at the end of the night it'll help him decide to stay or go. I don't know if it was true. And then he died the very next day, and I got a call from his family and so on and so forth. So more than just a coincidence, right? So what I'm going to do for Mike is I'm going to build a fire, and I'm going to throw tobacco in it. Now, I don't know. Does it have to be somebody Native to do it? I don't have anyone around me, so what I'm going to do is just do that. I don't see why anybody can't, you know, with the intent. and I'm going to say his name. And if you want to be a part of that, I mean, that's not asking you to do anything you don't want to do. If you would, if you wanted to, just say his name. And so I won't do this for a little bit, but I eventually will. I'll give it a little bit of time. And I don't know what to do at this point. Our mutual friend wants to try to do something and step in. It's like, what can you do? And I also believe it's part of his journey. You know, even if he's going through some difficulties and suffering right now, this may sound insensitive, but I think he chose this. So I certainly have compassion, but I also realize there's only so much you can do. Now, if it was someone really close to me, not that Mike is not close to me, but he's not as close as some other people. So, you know, I'd be spending a lot of time there if it was somebody really close to me. And perhaps I should go visit. Even if he can't hear me or see me, just perhaps just visit. Sit there with him. So it's kind of a dilemma, and I think the right thing to do is to put it out there. And then allow, like the little bird, allow nature to go its course. And if Mike is ready to step into that next realm, then he will. And if he's tired of suffering, then he will. So I appreciate you listening. And if you ever want to share something, and hopefully it's not a downer for you, that's not meant to be. You know, part of me is sad, but part of me is very happy because I believe I know what it's like on the other side. And he's going to be there, just like Carol and others. Eventually, all of us, unless we ascend, you know, is it something to feel bad about? Nope. Something I'm worried about? Nope. And I think with all of that, I'm going to kind of wrap it up. But I appreciate you listening, and you're always welcome to share some input or even experiences. It's just wonderful to hear them. One more thing I forgot about Lori. She said they have the house, and it's attached to the garage, but there's like a long, like a breezeway, a hallway that you have to walk through. And she said she was out there after her mom passed away, and she's got these wind chimes. Now, the windows and doors are closed. It's kind of chilly up here this time of year. And the chimes went off. So, was that Carol? Pretty sure it could have been. Pretty sure. So, we know, you know, there's always signs. I've talked about it with so many people. I truly believe it. And some people say, I haven't seen anything. Well, maybe you. I was talking to actually a couple last night, these people I know. And they were telling me about, you know, I asked them if their names are John and Cheryl. And Cheryl's father passed away. And I asked them if they saw things. And they told me about some things. And one thing John said, he says, you know, in the house, we have three dogs. One of the dogs was just staring at something. And I tried to call his name, and he kind of glanced at me, and then he kept looking at this. And then eventually he stopped looking at it. So apparently the dog was seeing something. I can't explain why some seem to make contact right away and others do not. I don't have an answer for that. It just is what it is. Or people maybe miss the signs. Or maybe they're keeping themselves with their fear. Maybe they're a little bit afraid. I think that also plays into all of it. So enough talk about all that. I just want to wish you the best. A happy Thanksgiving. Love and light to you. Oh, and one more thing before I forget, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk. about 6 years ago, 2017, I went to see Melissa Middleton, and I was helping her. She was kind of training in with my friend Joy, doing some energy work. And at the time, I had really bad carpal tunnel. I was getting to the point where it was kind of unbearable. And I, you know, I went to see her, and after I didn't tell her when she did her about a half hour worth of energy work on me. And after that, within 2 weeks, my carpal completely went away, with some little numbness once in a while. So I think also around that time, I started eating celery. Wait a second, celery? Yeah, I don't know why I started. Maybe I was guided, inner guided. Because I didn't know. I just liked it because it was crunchy, and I wanted to eat something healthier at work. So I'd eat, now I eat carrots and celery. For sometimes I'll mix in broccoli, have a banana and a sandwich. Usually that's my lunch, breakfast, you know, all that stuff. I bring a little bucket with me to work while I'm at the radio station. So I ate celery pretty steady around that time, and the pain from the carpal went away completely. So about maybe a month ago, I thought, well, why am I eating celery still? I mean, I like it, but maybe broccoli is a better thing. It's supposed to be pretty good for you. I'm going to switch to that and stop eating celery for a while. So I started eating the broccoli for about a week or two, I think. Got off celery. After doing it for six straight years, or somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't know if I started exactly in 2000. I think I did. So what I noticed within a week or two time, that my wrists started hurting again. And then they started hurting a lot. And I went and looked up celery, Googled it, and it said, it can't help you in any way. There's nothing you're going to, you know, it's not going to. And then another article, it's funny how there's two different articles, said that it helps relieve pain and it can even maybe get rid of arthritis. So what I do, whether this is beneficial to you, it certainly can help you. But what I do is I eat about half a stalk of celery every day that I'm at work. And I only do it for 4 days when I'm at work. I don't do it on the weekends. And I don't get it till Tuesday. I don't get it in my lunch till Tuesday, because Monday after work is when I go and get it. So at the grocery store. So then I've got it for Tuesday. I've got two stalks, and I eat half a stalk Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then over the two-week time up to now, my wrists are completely back to the way they were. There's a little bit of numbness, but they don't hurt. And I can lay them right down. Nothing. But you should have seen me 2 weeks ago. Anyway, I think there's something to it. And I thought I'd pass it on. Blessings to you, and love, light, joy, happiness, as much as possible. Thank you.